Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Noise, the podcast series from PR Week. I'm your host, Frankie Oliver, the founder of New Society, and today I'm joined by John Harrington, editor of PR Week UK. Hi, John.
Hi, Frankie.
And we'll soon be joined by a very special guest who we'll come to shortly. For this episode, we're returning to AI, something that is rarely out of the news and remains a hugely important topic for our industry. We're looking specifically at how AI is accelerating the spread of disinformation and what the comms industry could and should do to counter the problem. The issue has come into prominence during the tragic events in Israel and Gaza, where a spread of disinformation, much of it enabled by AI, has often made it difficult to tell the truth from a half-truth and downright lies. Meanwhile, this week, the UK government is hosting the AI Safety Summit at Bletchley Park, which aims to build a shared global understanding of the risks posed by AI. Rishi Sunak is set to outline how we have a global responsibility to understand and address the risks surrounding this technology. Last week, the government released a discussion paper on the risks of AI. So joining us to discuss what this all means for the comms industry is Kerry Sheenan. Kerry is Head of Service Development and Innovation at the UK Civil Service and is a senior figure working on the government's AI policies. Kerry gave a brilliant and fascinating speech at PR Week's PR 360 event in May, where she warned that the PR industry was simply sleepwalking into AI and that it should become a leader rather than a follower. She also has a background in communications within the healthcare sector and senior roles at Sainsbury's and Costa. So, Kerry, thank you so much for joining us. So really, let's get into our first question, Kerry. How has the amount of disinformation, especially AI disinformation, increased in recent months, especially during the conflict in Israel?
Yeah, but really on point question. I think it's impossible to actually quantify it semantically. I think you only have to look at some of the digital social media channels, and it just feels, you know, for those that have an understanding of it, it has increased. And I think it's fair to say, and this is my point of view, I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone else, that AI has definitely made, you know, the Israel-Hamas misinformation and disinformation epidemic much, much worse. I think now war propaganda is turbocharged, you know, with AI software that can pump out an endless supply of what we can say is incendiary images. You know, since the October 7th attack by Hamas militants against Israel, it's become near on impossible to avoid images of the carnage and devastation. We've all seen them, you know, on digital channels, on the TV, we've heard about them. And obviously this is centred on the people that are living in, you know, the besieged Gaza Strip. But online, it's already difficult to sift through the barrage of misinformation, recycled footage from past conflicts and contradictory narratives to ascertain what is really happening on the ground. And that's making it difficult for people that really have a good understanding. You know, the emerging technology of artificial intelligence is adding a whole new layer of complexity to the problem. So, you know, we've seen AI-generated images and videos related to the ongoing conflict are running rampant on social media. But among them, you know, there's a clear flood of, you know, handled attempts. You know, I guess I would deem it agitative propaganda, you know, hate-fueled memes targeting Jewish people, real intentionally crafted efforts to deceive, the public.
So you can't always tell with propaganda where it's coming from, but do you have any sense of the source and the objective of that misinformation?
Well, I think that's obviously to sway the narrative, isn't it, for certain motivations. You know, it could be sort of people sitting in their bedrooms with, you know, the myriad of AI tools that are very, you know, free, low cost to use these days, to real concerted efforts to sway the narrative and understanding. But what we can see, you know, the extent that people continue to trust information from unvetted sources, you know, AI sources, you know, really massively now is exacerbating, you know, existing problems that were already there. And, you know, from my point of view, without a doubt, that's lowered the bar for producing what can look like very credible but fake content. And it will just generate more higher quality images, audio, video fakes that, you know, every one of us is going to encounter much, much more of it. We don't know what the result of that will be. You know, it's going to be evolving as we move forward. There is no current regulation, although EU AI Act pending, UK regulation on the cards, no defined dates just as yet. So we're already seeing, you know, the mass deluge experiment, if you like, start to play out in real time, which is quite interesting to see, but also quite concerning. One of the most widely disseminated instances of misinformation spread by AI-generated media of late was the claim that President Joe Biden would be opening the US Selective Service draft to women. Now, the claim has resurfaced, you know, amid the Israel-Hamas conflict via a deepfake video, which was created back in February, you know, and depicts President Biden announcing that he will revive that draft. But actually, that was just baseless rumours that women would be drafted into the military. It went viral. It generated a satirical TikTok trend. Some people deemed it funny. Some people deemed it, you know, quite concerning of women imagining what it would be like to serve in the military. Thousands of videos, many, you know, many millions of views were racked up, even attached to hashtags like, you know, hashtag women draft. There was one of Greta Thunberg, you know, falsely depicting, you know, Greta advocating the use of sustainable military technology and even biodegradable missiles, which generated thousands of impressions on X, used to be known as Twitter, and it was shared by some of the conspiracy theorists out there. I won't name any because I don't want to get in, you know, involved in that side of things. And that was despite a small watermark, you know, on that Greta Thunberg deepfake video, hinting that the digitally altered video was satire. Despite that, many, many users, you know, of X in the comments reacted credulously to the clip, and others really struggled to discern if it was real or not. So you can start to see that we're a bit of an intersection where even if you put small watermarks on content to say it's verified, this is a single source of truth on this, or this content was generated with AI, you know, genuine authentic pictures, video content, that also, you know, could have been passed through AI tools, they're known as upscalers. So things like, you know, DALL-E or Stable Diffusion, you know, programs to increase the resolution of some of these videos and pictures. So these could be genuine, but they've been, you know, manipulated to some extent to make them look better on the digital channels to improve their resolution. They're actually, you know, having watermarks on them. And then people are still thinking, oh, no, 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 this is that fake content. So you're starting to see a bit of a collision course out there of people's, you know, trying hard to decipher what's real and what's not. And even when there are, you know, attempts at watermarks for things, you know, which is not technically misinformation or disinformation, they're just letting you know that this image has been, you know, improved to make it clearer to you. People are now saying that they don't believe that that image, that video is genuine. And we've seen a lot of those come out of, you know, things to do with Israel and Gaza, you know, even down to a young girl holding a teddy bear as a fire rages behind her, for example. That was a definitely fake. Then someone else deployed similar images which had been improved by the AI upscalers, and people were responding that the authentic images and videos were fake. So where are we heading? So I think you can start to see that making matters worse, you know, misleading images are occasionally amplified by sources that seem trustworthy.
Yeah, I mean, and terrible situation. In which other walks of life would you say AI disinformation is a particularly growing problem?
So I think, you know, we saw healthcare misinformation, you know, during the COVID-19 pandemic. There were false claims and disinformation about, you know, the vaccines and, you know, and all the restrictions and so forth that were put in place. And we definitely saw those spread through AI-driven social media campaigns, you know, misinformation related to the then unproven treatments, vaccine safety, you know, origins of the virus. You know, you can still see some of that, you know, legacy, you know, digital communication happening today, you know, leads to public confusion, non-compliance with public health guidelines, and so forth, even down to, you know, some conspiracies about, you know, self-medication with unproven drugs and so forth.
I think some presidents had something to do with that as well, didn't they? So what do you think, or do you think the industry is doing enough to educate its stakeholders and its clients about the risks? And I suppose further to that, like, what is the risk that we all need to be looking at from a public perspective if there is just simply no way for people to navigate what's true and what's not true? I mean, what's the answer to that? And what's the outcome of the Bletchley Park meeting that you're really looking for? What do we really need? Educating people about what is trusted media and what isn't trusted media?
Yeah, I mean, add to that, we're in this what's been determined as a post-truth world. So whose truth is it? You know, there are various ways that you've got, you know, trusted sources of content. It was the old, you know, blue Twitter marks, you know, you've now got that translated into X and so forth. But I think for communicators, it's particularly important to recognise that AI-driven disinformation is a growing concern. You know, it has the potential to disrupt various aspects of society, but preventing and mitigating, you know, the spread of it, which can lead to crises, you know, really does require a multifaceted approach now from communicators, which I do believe involves public awareness. So increasing awareness amongst your stakeholders, that media literacy, you know, understanding and fact checking, you know, our communicators working with the, you know, the fact checkers that can, you know, really support your efforts. And also in time, you know, adhering to any regulatory measures to address disinformation at source. So again, there's no tried and tested way of this, but you know, I think it goes back to good old crisis planning and, you know, campaign message planning as part of all plans and strategies. Now I think we need to have, you know, another column, another area that's included to the risks, you know, the risk assessment for deploying those messages. You know, what are the risks that we could face from, you know, AI and AI driven misinformation and disinformation, and how could you mitigate that at the start rather than potentially being on the back foot with some of this and having to respond?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. And what other advice would you give the comms industry for getting on top of of AI? I mean, obviously having the crisis comms plan seems very, very, very sensible. There are sort of other things that you'd sort of recommend to our listeners.
Well, I think, you know, the whole industry needs to go on an AI education journey. And that's not just on artificial intelligence, you know, from a very high level, you know, what is an algorithm, how are they used, you know, what data should be fed in, and, you know, sort of concerns about data bias and discrimination and so forth. But actually understanding it from a technical point of view, you know, we know the PR industry throughout history have been one of the last adopters of any tech innovation, you know, let alone at scale. And I think that does still remain in parts, although the acceleration of, you know, AI tools, particularly, you know, ChatGPT, you know, caught many, you know, businesses, organisations on the back foot, and they're now having to play catch up. But that's brought, you know, the use of AI tools really into, you know, the conscious of communicators and the public's conscious. And it's quite heartening for me. You know, I, you know, get lots of approaches, you know, can you help me? Can you support me? So it's great that people are playing around with AI tools, seeing if they're appropriate, you know, looking at them for perhaps content generation or supporting with, you know, campaign, you know, imagery, design, conception, you know, helping with monitoring and so forth. And even down to using natural language, you know, processing to understand what words, you know, even down to words and words, you know, going together, which may work or may not, which may land better with, you know, certain, you know, groups, cohorts or communities. But I still think, you know, communication is the process of the, you know, the communication services that are provided out there. They are in the main, from my experience, still very analog, you know, a lot still done, you know, in documents on spreadsheets and so forth. But for me, it's about understanding, you know, where we are at with AI. It's hugely accelerated out there. But as anyone out there, and this is kind of where, you know, the business, you know, management consultancy side comes into it, where are you going to dock these AI tools and programs into? Has anyone mapped, you know, the end-to-end process, done that audit, looked at the workflows, looked at the tech stack flows, you know, where can you integrate, where can you move to standardization? And I think that's very important, because it's at a time when, you know, most organizations, businesses and brands are looking at new operating models for the whole organization, you know, perhaps the consumer side, the customer side, the service side, you know, the inbound interaction side, you know, whichever sector or profession that communicators are in. But yet it should be communicators that are, have already done this piece of work or are on the journey to doing this piece of work. And it'll be iterative as we move forward, as any innovation inevitably is. But the communicators, for me, should be in the boardrooms. They should be with the executive directors, supporting them to drive, you know, their AI developments forwards. And there's not many of them, you know, like myself, that are doing that. You know, it's often said that, you know, communicators are the reputation guardians. They uphold the truth, despite whatever challenges there are to that. But without that huge understanding, it's going to be quite difficult. And I think maybe going forwards, we may see reputations won or lost, particularly, you know, if there is a big hit, so to say, from a crisis that involves, you know, AI disinformation and misinformation. So for me, it's an exciting time, but that needs to really increase in pace now.
So, Kerry, what kind of regulations around AI are coming down the track that comms professionals really need to be aware of?
Yeah, this is a really interesting area. No country in the world has got regulation over AI currently. Many countries are working towards that. Interesting that the European Union, the EU AI Act, is due to come into place the end of 2023, 2024. It got voted through at committee stage at the EU Commission not so long ago. And the UK has said it will take a soft touch pro-innovation approach to AI regulation to not thwart innovation and, you know, and support transformation, change moving forwards. So regarding regulations, I don't think it's right, you know, that communicators will wait to see what that AI regulation looks like. There's enough information out there already, you know, whether our communicators are operating in the UK, but through the, you know, European Union countries, or whether they're in the UK, the States, or, you know, the UAE, wherever they may be operating, you know, what are the conversations? What is the guidance? What are the white papers that have been issued already that give a nod to what kind of areas AI regulation may cover? And actually, have you almost assessed and regulated, you know, the elements of your communication, you know, your tech stack flows and any algorithms that you may be using, to perhaps rate them in line with the EU AI Act? So low risk, high risk, medium risk, and so forth. Because of course, once regulation is voted in, you know, whichever markets and jurisdictions people operate in, and also importantly through, because you may have different country regulations that you have to look at and align to, you can already be doing some of that work already. And in fact, again, you know, communicators should have a good handle of this to, again, be able to advise, you know, and guide. So for example, you know, you could be a customer facing organization, you may use algorithms for customer service and so forth, or you're a banking institute, you use algorithms to decide on perhaps high consequence products, so mortgages, finance for people. You know, you'd need to disclose, you know, how those decisions were made to a point. So going back to the UK's five AI principles, one of those being transparency. Now, you know, well, how do you determine that within, you know, your communication efforts, but also, you know, what you're advising on communication, you know, to the powers that be in your organisations, businesses and brands. So for me, keep up to date with what's coming down the track with AI regulation, because once it's here, you don't want to be caught out. Two, you know, get ready, get prepared, you know, look to see what policies, guides are coming out, you know, keep abreast of, you know, some of the AI Safety Summit discussions, you know, to see where particularly the UK is going, you know, have a good understanding of what responsible AI should look like. And that's within the communication function service. So if you're buying in products, most of all, you don't get caught out by a lot of AI hype that is out there. And, you know, I've seen that happen previously. But also look to see what standards are being developed. You know, I'm part of the what's known as the ART 1 group at the British Standards Institute. We're developing the global AI standards, which will hopefully be the backbone of AI regulation, you know, in many countries across the world. What's already been published, you know, which ones are relevant to the communication work and the communication advisory role to organisations, and which ones should you be aware of, even if you don't obviously follow, you know, the BSI route, for example, but which areas are going to be out there and which ones should you be aware of? So again, I think it goes back to what we said sort of towards the start. For me, you know, I guess this is a sentiment level, but risks for, you know, building, developing, deploying communication, AI needs to be part of that risk. And that's an internal risk for deployment success. So whether you're motivating people to, you know, buy more, interact with you better, have a better understanding, or go and get the health checks, whatever it may be. But also from, you know, the other side of the coin, and how you are going to ensure that, you know, you don't fall foul of regulation. So very complex, bit bitty at the moment, but a wait and watch game for me is not the right approach. You know, you need to start adopting some of these things now, but realising, you know, we are at the start of AI, and it's going to be an iterative, agile approach for all of us as we move forward. So what may work last week may not work next week.
Yeah, it's great advice. And also, I'd quite like to come back to what you said at PR360 about the industry potentially sleepwalking into AI. I mean, have you noticed that there's been any sort of enough sort of step up in the sort of in the interest and the amount of activity that the industry has done to sort of get on top of the problem? Do you still think that there is a sense of complacency, or, you know, not quite being on top of it? Or do you think the industry is really engaging with the issue?
I think I'm seeing more engagement with AI and the rewards and risks, opportunities that AI can and is bringing. I see that some of that is reliant on where people sit. You know, so I've heard a lot about, well, my organisation isn't looking at, you know, AI. And I say, well, have you spoken to your tech people? Have you spoken to your data people? Oh, no. Well, if you go and speak to them, I bet they are, because this is one thing that's keeping a lot of chief executives and executive people awake at night, because it is a reputation crisis waiting to happen. So I think, you know, with the acceleration of tools, you know, we have seen more having an understanding of what's out there. And for me, the understanding, oh, we need to do something, but not quite sure on what they need to do, because it's not a one size fits all for every, you know, communication PR service, because everyone is different. Everyone has different strategic objectives they need to fulfill. Everyone has different amounts of people in the team, different skill sets. But what I would say is having that real thorough basic understanding, but also on the technical side, is only going to fare people really well as you move forward.
It's feeling like the 1990s with the invention of the internet.
I'd hardly remember it.
Sadly, I do.
Well, human beings fear the unknown. So, you know, why don't we start leading, you know, change, transformation and innovations, you know, start putting some markers in the ground, and history will judge us in the future if we're on the right side of history, and I'm very much hopeful that we will be.
Kerry, thank you so much. What a fascinating subject, and it just feels like it's just gargantuan. And what's ahead is, I mean, we definitely probably need to check on this quite regularly over the coming year. Look forward to you joining us next time.
Brilliant. Thanks, everyone.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.